Everyone, it's Robin Robbins. Welcome to another Business Builder Teleseminar. And this one, we're going to be talking about how to become the CEO of your life, how to take back control of your personal and your professional life by developing a CEO mindset for your life. And we're real fortunate to have Chris Cavanaugh with us. She's a CEO catalyst, as she says, and also a business coach for people who are trying to get balance back in their life, trying to hit big goals, sort of feeling overwhelmed and so forth. And I thought this was a really appropriate business builder for a couple of reasons. Number one, Chris came recommended to us by a Producers Club member of ours, a very good Producers Club, long-term Producers Club member, Todd Nielsen, Decision Systems Plus, and Randy Ware is the CEO of that company. Very successful, fast growth company, and they were the ones who introduced me to Chris. They met her, I guess, through a CEO group of some kind, and just found her to have her approach to sort of getting control of the balance in work and life and business and all the things we're dealing with really refreshing and a different take than they had heard before. And I read her book, and it's a great book. It's a great approach. And so that's why we invited her here to speak with us today. So just to give you a little background, she's the owner of Shift. She is a speaker, she's an author, and she's a coach who specializes in helping others cultivate a CEO mindset in every area of their lives. So that's their businesses, careers, professional lives, everything. So everything in their life thrives. And she's an expert strategist with an amazing ability to pull her clients through difficult challenges and obtain the life that they truly want and to make sure that they are on purpose so they wake up every day excited about the possibilities and maintaining the quality of life that they want. So, Chris, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate you being here.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. And so why don't we start out, you and I started having this conversation right before we got started, but real quick, who hires you and why do they hire you? So we can get a little idea who, you know, get background who you work with.
Sure. Most of the people that hire me tend to be business owners or senior level professionals. And the reason that they hire me are usually one of three reasons. The first is every day they feel like they're constantly pulling their hair out and they just can't seem to get it together. They feel like they have very little control over their life as a whole. And they want more control. They want to figure out how to have a regular feeling like life is enjoyable instead of them just kind of getting up and pulling their hair out and trying to make it all work. The second reason they hire me is often they're going through some sort of transition and they don't quite know how to get through it, or they know they can get through it a whole lot better with the guidance of a coach or a coach as a partner in the process. Mm-hmm. And the third reason is that they have a specific goal. And it may be a goal that they've, you know, every January, you know, they say, I'm going to do this. And by March, they aren't doing it. And by April, they have forgotten they said they wanted to do it. And all of a sudden, it's time again for them to say they want to do it. But they recognize the way they've always done it in the past isn't working, so they need a new approach. And so they hire me to help them figure out how to put all the pieces together so that they successfully accomplish whatever it is that they want to do.
Okay, so they have some adversity in their life, some challenge, something, and they're trying to get it handled. And you know, you and I were kind of briefly talking prior to getting on the call here about the importance of having that coach and having that third party. And I think it's something we all need, and that is sometimes someone who can just be that sounding board for us, and not just a sounding board, because, you know, there's plenty of people around us we can talk to that have no real solutions, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you talk to them about your problems, and all they do is say, oh, you think you got a problem, wait till you hear my problem, you know, so it's not like just talking to somebody, but someone, who, like you said, who can just kind of help them process what's going on. So you're an executive and life coach, and your company's called Shift, so just again, I want to get a feel for, you know, what you do. Can you tell us why you chose the name Shift?
Yeah, it's actually an interesting story. I had started up my company in 2007, and it had a completely different name. And I spent 2 years with that name, and it didn't quite work. And so I went through a branding process, and I was really trying to figure out what a powerful name for my company would be. And when we figured out that what I do is shift people from where they are to where they want to be, and the method that I do that is by helping them become CEO of their entire life, mm-hmm. we thought that Shift would be just a perfect, powerful name. And it is. Everybody that sees it and reads it and hears it resonates with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What was the company name before?
It was Transformation Journeys, which I loved, but it didn't quite work.
Okay. That's interesting. Okay. Well, I got, you know, Shift is kind of like a cool one word, you know, simple. So I could definitely see that. So,
mm-hmm.
okay. So today, you know, the title of this presentation is Surviving Any Economy by shifting to becoming CEO of your life. And it's based on your book, obviously, Stuck to CEO. So what do you mean by CEO of your life?
Well, if you think about the CEOs of the world, especially the CEO of Google, the CEO of Coca-Cola, I mean, they are well-known CEOs. And they have a specific skill set that they are being paid seven figures to run those companies for. And those skill sets include things like, you know, really great communication skills, really great time management skills, the ability to be a visionary, to see far beyond the possibilities of what their current circumstances is to what could be. They have a great affinity to develop relationships and to really capitalize on those relationships to achieve goals.
Mm-hmm.
They refuse to allow challenges to stop them. They'll find ways around, under, or through a challenge to get what they want done. So there's all these little things that CEOs who are effective can do rather easily, and they know that if they do it that way, using all of those skills, they're going to be successful more than not. And
right.
So I've realized most of my life that the reason I have had so much success in my life and the reason that I have accomplished so much is because I approach my life a lot different than most people. And one of the things I started to see throughout my whole life, and especially when I started this company, is that I've always used those skill sets that a CEO would use in every aspect of my life. And so naturally and organically, I've created success. I've accomplished things. I've created a lot of different things in my life that I've been very, very excited about.
Mm-hmm.
And so I honestly feel that if people would wake up in the morning and they would put on the CEO hat for their entire life, they would just shift their mindset, their actions, their beliefs to be more in line with that thought process, because you're thinking on a higher level, you're acting on a higher level. It just happens naturally that what you want happens, and what you're trying to achieve typically comes true.
Right, right, right. You know, and that when I spoke to Todd, who was the Producers Club member who referred you to
mm-hmm.
me, he said, I asked him, I said, well, you know, what was the big takeaway you got from Chris? And he said, you know, the big aha moment, he said, was kind of like a more of a duh kind of moment was, he says, when you said, look, you know, you have these skills and this approach and goals and the way you manage your professional life. So when you go home, why aren't you doing the same thing? Meaning, why aren't you applying those same skill sets or that same approach to your life in general, whether it's your health and your relationships and your kids and your whatever it is, you know. So I think that is it is kind of a one of those things that you sit there and you go, hey, you know what, you're right. Why is it all of a sudden when I walk through the front door of my house, all of a sudden I'm a different person or I don't apply those same skills? So anyway, okay, so you have a five-step, what you call your shift process. Can you talk about that? Because that's how this is the process to becoming CEO of their life, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so walk us through those five steps.
Sure. Well, before I even walk you through the five steps, I want to start with where most people are.
Okay.
And I want you to imagine that I'm sitting on a park bench, and all of a sudden you hear meow, and that's your life. That's some part of your life. It's, you know, I wish my relationship would be better. I wish my health could be better. I wish I could spend more time with my kids. You know, whatever it is that's passing in front of you, it's your life. Mm-hmm. And that's where most people are. They're spectators in their life. They're metaphorically sitting on a park bench watching their life go by and wishing things would be different, but not doing anything to make it different. And so the first part of the shift process is actually shifting your perception and connecting to the possibilities of what could be in your life. And I call that the parking attendant phase. And all of these shifts are based on like a corporate theme.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the phase where you actually get off the bench and you decide you want it to be different. And then you figure out, well, how do I want it to be different? Because if you don't know what you want, you're never going to get there. And the truth is, if you don't know what you want, you're always going to get there because you have no direction.
Mm-hmm.
And so the second shift is what
Let me back up. The first shift is summarize that for me again, please.
Sure. The first shift is shifting your perception. It's really connecting to the possibilities of what could be. And I call that the parking attendant shift.
Okay. All right, so is that just a matter of saying, all right, I'm going from reactive to proactive or making that decision? Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah, yes. It very much is becoming more proactive, and then once you are being proactive, defining what it is that you actually want.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't define it, you really don't have a path to get there.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
Okay. So the second shift is shifting your foundation. And this is the owning who you are part. You are who you are everywhere you are, which means that if you're really good at something one place, you're probably going to be really good at something somewhere else. If you're not so good at something in one area of your life, you're probably not going to be very good at it in another area of your life. So owning who you are is just being brutally honest with yourself and just really digging in and going, what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What can I leverage that I'm already good at? And what do I need to start becoming good at so that I can accomplish whatever it is I'm trying to do? So, to really do that well, it's so important to have the right people around you, people who will speak truth to you, people who will hold up a mirror and say, you know, you said this is where you're trying to go, but, you know, you're not doing X, Y, and Z to get there. Shouldn't you be getting better at that, or shouldn't you consider this? It's that place that you're just really brutally honest and able to look at yourself and take steps to improve what needs to be improved and leverage what needs to be leveraged.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So let's say, I hear what you're saying. Is there some specific action steps I should take in order to take that sort of inventory, or what would you recommend that they do as an action step?
One thing I would highly recommend if you haven't done it already, and I'm assuming most of the people on the call have, is a personality test. Because
okay.
A personality test is going to give you the information that you need to understand how you communicate with others and your strengths and weaknesses. Because I know in my own life that because of the personality that I have, there are certain ways that I need to approach things differently when I'm working with certain people, because if I approached it the way I default to, it wouldn't be very effective.
Mm-hmm.
And so because I know my personality and I'm very cognizant of it, I know how to communicate with different people different ways. and I know what I'm good at and what I'm not good at. And so if I'm not good at something and I don't have to get better at it, you know, to be able to achieve my goal, I could just hire somebody that's better at it to do it for me to get me there quicker.
Gotcha.
And the things that I'm really good at, well, of course, I keep doing those things and I use those things as much as I can to move forward.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. So what's the third step?
The third step is shifting your action and utilizing your power of choice. Because up until this point, you've really only connected to the possibilities, defined what you've wanted, and at this point, you've come to a realization as to kind of who you are and what you're all about and the different things that might need to change. Mm-hmm. But you have to, at this point, define your actions. You literally have to write down action steps, benchmarks, and dates that you want to get things accomplished so that you actually have an action plan to start moving forward. Because without the plan, it could happen anytime or it could happen never. And when life gets in the way and pushes you off tracks or derails you or something happens, if you don't have established benchmarks and established timelines, then it's going to be really hard for you to stay on track.
Okay, can you give me an example? So, I don't know, make up a person or think of somebody you recently coached and give me something concrete.
Sure. One of the people that hired me late last year told me that she'd been really successful in her career, but she wanted to reach a new level of success. And so she had things that she wanted to do, and she had wanted to do them in a certain timeline. And so what I did with her after is defining specifically what she wanted, because her goals weren't clear. We had to fully clearly define her goals so they were tangible. Mm-hmm. Then I had her take those tangible things and actually create an action plan. And then I actually had her put those action steps into her calendar. And then when we meet, I just follow up and we make sure that she's adhering to her own deadlines. And when she doesn't, that's okay because life happens. We just figure out, well, how do we get back on track? But the interesting thing is that it's easier to get back on track when you've got the timeline laid out, because you know when you've missed the deadline. If the timeline is not there, then you may never be aware of it, or you may be aware of it way, way late. So is that a good enough example? Does that make sense?
Well, I mean, I'm kind of like looking for, okay, so let's say, for example, one of the things I want to do is I'm trying to think of something intangible. Like weight loss, you can say, okay, that's measurable. Finances, okay, that's measurable. But let's say I just want to get balance back in my life. I mean, you know, that's kind of an intangible blob of communication there. So how do you benchmark balance in your life?
Well, you take the intangible of balance and you start defining what it looks like to have balance in your life. And so you make the intangible tangible by defining what it is that you're doing, saying, and being to be balanced. And like I have another client who indeed hired me around that very same subject. And she determined that for her to have balance in her life, that she had to go on a date with her husband at least once a month. She had to spend time individually with her children at least once a month. She had to go hang out with her friends or connect with her friends at least twice a month. She had to go on a vacation at least three times a year. So we took the intangible and we made it tangible, and we're working on the tangible items. And every time she starts achieving the tangible items consistently, she feels like her life is more in balance. Do you see how that works?
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. So have you ever had somebody who achieves those things and then says, you know, I still don't feel like I've got balance in my life?
No, not at all. Because once they start getting those things in their life, they feel better about the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. And the more they have in it that they want, the other stuff that may not be so enjoyable or may not be so fun that they have to deal with becomes less stressful, less annoying, because they're getting what they want in other places.
Okay. And what about, so I'm trying to play a little bit of devil's advocate here, you know, thinking of what people might be thinking out there, you know, when they have this. So if, I mean, what if, have you ever had where someone started to do this or make this transition, make this shift, they start doing these things, and then all of a sudden just like life runs over them and things happen and then they get off track and they just feel like completely discouraged? I mean, how do you reinstill the excitement back to somebody who has tried multiple times and is just not, they've just got to a point where they're like, you know what, maybe this is just the way it is?
Everybody fails, and that's one of the things I always make sure that everyone knows in a coaching program. You are not perfect. You will fail at some point. Mm-hmm. How you deal with the failure is so important, and I make sure that my clients really understand, you know, if they fail, well, how are they going to deal with it? Are they going to give up? Are they going to go, okay, I failed, tomorrow's a new day, I get a fresh start? Mm-hmm. Or are they going to beat themselves up about it? You know, and my job as a coach is to help them deal with failure as effectively as they deal with anything else in their life. And my clients do fail. They all fail at some point. It's just part of the process. Mm-hmm. And it's recognizing that it's a journey. And that's why I call it a shift journey, because most of my clients come to me with anywhere between 35 and 55, 60 years of habit, of ways of doing things and of thinking. And the reason they hire me is because they want to be different. And it takes time to be different. It takes practice. And it just takes a dedication and commitment. And it happens when you do it and you fail and you do it again and you fail less and you do it again and then you fail a lot less, and then all of a sudden you're not failing very much at all.
Gotcha. Okay. So shift perception, shift the foundation, shift your actions. And then what's the fourth step?
The fourth step is to shift your expectations. And this is actually the hardest shift. And the reason it's the hardest shift is because here you really have to stay on top of your game. This is the consistency piece. Most people get to the shift your actions part fairly well, but a lot of them never really get consistent. And let's default back to the gym membership that I was talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, every January, millions of people join a gym because they have full intention of getting on that treadmill or picking up those weights or joining that aerobics class, and they do it for like 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks, and then all of a sudden they do it twice a week, then it's once a week, then by April or May they're like, why did I even join? And it's because the consistency isn't there. But if they had been consistent every step of the way, even with the failures, they picked it up and got consistent again, then they would be much further along, they would be achieving their health goals, and it would become a natural lifestyle to a part that they would feel weird if they didn't exercise or they didn't address their health. Again, it's a consistency shift that develops a habit, which develops a mindset, which develops results.
Right, but I think that's the hard part for a lot of people, is that they are... It is the consistency thing. So they get started, then they stop. And then at some point, mm-hmm. they're going to get started again. So what do you do when the going gets tough, right? When you promise yourself you're going to exercise every morning. So the alarm goes off at 5:30 a.m., and the first day you're all excited. You get up, you work out, you know, great. You feel fantastic. You're excited. Next day, same thing. Third day you wake up, 5:30, and you feel a little crappy because, you know, you stayed up late or whatever, and you're like, you know, maybe I ought to just skip today because I worked out the last 2 days. But you manage to get up and whatever, okay, you work out. And then the next day comes, and you're out on a drinking binge the night before, and you go, well, I worked out the 3 days before. You know, I'm just going to skip this one, and you skip it. And that feels so good, then you start ending up doing – I mean, how do you – because when people get started, they're always excited and they're always ready to go. How do you maintain that consistency? I mean, you're saying just be consistent, but that if that was the answer, then we'd all be thin, we'd all be rich, we'd all, you know, I mean, how do you maintain that consistency?
it really boils down to knowing your why you're doing it and having the right support and accountability around you. If you go into a goal not wanting to do it, but knowing you should do it, and you don't have a real significant why, chances are you're never going to achieve it because you have nothing to keep you motivated.
Okay.
But if you have a strong enough why, then you know why you're doing it. And even when you slack off, it's a little bit easier to get back on track. But what I find most is that if people have somebody to hold them accountable, it's so much easier. I actually had a client the other day say to me, listen, I know I'm not going to be consistent. That's why I'm hiring you. And I said to him, you're right. However, my job is to make you self-accountable. So even though you're expecting me to hold you accountable, I'm expecting you to hold you accountable. And my goal is to help you become that way.
Okay.
And that's my job over the next 6 months. Is my job is to constantly remind him that he has to hold himself accountable and that he has to be the one that wants to do it. Otherwise, he might as well give the goal up. And, you know, and that's the deal. Is if you're not serious about it and you don't want to put all the pieces in place that you need to make it happen, then you might as well give it up because you're the only one that's going to achieve it. And you have to know what you need. And sometimes you have to pay for what you need.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you got the shift the expectations. And by the way, Chris, have you ever met someone so hosed up that you're just like, there's no hope for you, just give up? Have you ever said that?
No. I have met a lot of people who sincerely want to do certain things, but they're not ready.
I didn't think you'd say, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That was something I'd say. But, okay. All right, so number five on this five-step process is what?
The fifth shift is the CEO is when you finally feel and become CEO of your entire life. This is really an internal shift. This is a place where you know when you get up every single morning that you can handle anything that life throws at you. Even if life beats you up, throws you down, and runs you over 8 or 9 times, you know that you will be able to get up again and move forward. You may have to lay down there for a little while, but you know you're going to get up. And you also know that you have the right people around you to help you get up if you're having a hard time getting up. Mm-hmm. But it's just that place of inner confidence and inner knowledge that you can, will, and do whatever it takes to achieve your goals, that you hold yourself accountable, and that you believe without a shadow of a doubt that you can make things happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So when you take people through this five-step process, you already kind of alluded that the shifting expectations is the toughest part. And that was going to be my question, so I don't mean to be repetitive, but when going through, out of all this, what's the hardest part for people to get over or deal with?
It really is the commitment. It's the consistency and the commitment. And what I find is that everybody comes to the coaching journey differently for all different reasons, for all different motivations. And it's a discovery. You know, there's a lot of times where my clients will discover things that they never really knew or things that they always thought might be part of the core reason, but it wasn't until they got into a coaching program that they finally defined it. And when we were able to define what the real challenge was, then we were able to create solutions to alleviate all the symptoms. Because a lot of times work-life balance problems are a symptom. It's not the problem. It's a symptom of other things, like not being able to plan and schedule, like not knowing how to prioritize. You know, if they could do that, then they would have work-life balance.
Gotcha. Okay. So you've done this in your own life, obviously.
Correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So how can you share a little bit how it's helped you experience more success through your life specifically?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I have had so many interesting twists and turns in my life journey, both with career and personal and everything. Mm-hmm. And because I essentially have been CEO of my life, gosh, since as long as I can remember, I didn't know what it was. I'm defining it now as being CEO of your life. But it really and truly, I've always been a visionary. I've always been super confident, so much so that I never liked the word no, and I never allowed anybody to tell me no. Mm-hmm. And if somebody told me I couldn't do something, I'd figure out a way to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And I always believed in myself. So if anybody thought, oh, Chris can't do that, or Chris shouldn't be selected for that, I always was like, what do you mean? Of course I can do that, or I can learn to do that. Mm-hmm. And those core qualities have consistently helped me stare challenges down, run through obstacles, figure out a way around them, and very little has stopped me in my tracks. Now, there have been times where I have been laid out flat and I've had problems, but because I've been CEO of my life, I got through it quicker. Or I reached out to the right people because I always had the right people around me, and I made sure that no matter what city I lived in, what place I was at, what job I had, I always tried to connect with people that I thought would be great friends, great mentors, or just influential. And I always went to them and asked for help or their advice or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And so... it's going to be interesting because I want the people on the call, if they would, to submit either through the webcast or by pressing 1. I'd like to get some feedback from people listening, sort of, to say, hey, here's something I'm dealing with. How do you, sort of challenge you and say, how would you deal with this, that sort of thing. So I'll just mention that. Now, you also said you had a short exercise that you want to share with everyone on the call to help them in the process of getting started on this and being CEO of their life. Can you take a few minutes to go through that with us?
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Okay.
What I'd like to do first is just read off 12 words. And these are the life areas that I always have people prioritize. And so I just want to read them off, and if everybody would write them down, and then I'll start the exercise because I want to make sure we're all talking about the same word.
Okay.
So the first word is appearance. That's the way you look. Your body, your hair, your clothes, whatever. Then career is the second word.
Mm-hmm.
The third word is fun and leisure. Fourth is home, the place where you live, basically. The fifth word is personal development. The sixth word is relationship, and that would be with your spouse or partner or significant other.
Mm-hmm.
The next word is service. The following word is spiritual, that's your beliefs about humankind's existence and purpose. Next is family, then friends, then health, and finally money. And you should have 12 words in front of you.
Right,
appearance.
Okay, I was going to say, go ahead, go through them again. So
yeah.
Appearance, go ahead.
Appearance, career, fun and leisure, that's one word, basically. Home, personal development, relationship, service, spiritual, family, friends, health, and money.
Gotcha. Okay.
Now, that is your life as a whole. Any part of your life can be dropped into any one of those 12 categories. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about your life right now exactly the way it is. And I want you to prioritize all 12 of those based on the challenges that you're facing. So the first challenge or the first priority would be the one thing in your life that if you could address that challenge, your life as a whole would feel better, be easier, or more manageable. So whatever the top challenge is in your life, if it's a relationship challenge, maybe you're struggling with your husband or partner or boyfriend, and that is truly affecting, all the stress from that is affecting every other area of your life. That might be number one. Or maybe your health, there's something about your health. Maybe, you know, there's some issue, like you need to lose weight and you've needed to lose weight because if you don't, you know, your doctor keeps telling you that you're going to significantly impact the length of your life. Maybe it's your career. Maybe you're in a dead-end job and you've been there for like 10 years and you hate it. And the stress of going to work every day just really impacts every area of your life. So whatever that number one challenge is, I want you to rank as number one, and then all the other ones rank under that. So the first one would be the biggest challenge that you have, and the last one would be the area of your life that is going fairly well, and there's not a whole lot of stuff that you feel challenged about.
So as far, what's the difference between appearance and health? Is appearance weight related, or is it, you know, okay, go ahead.
Health is your weight. It's anything that has to do with your ability to get up and have a life. So your weight is very much in your health, because if your weight is not healthy, it's very difficult for you to have a really enjoyable life. So weight would fall under health. Appearance would literally just be the way you look. You know, it's your clothes, it's your hairstyle, it's the way somebody sees you.
Okay, and then what is service?
Service is the time or money that you give to help others. It's volunteer, it's if you tithe, it's if you give donations, if you give your time to organizations.
Okay. All right, so out of appearance, career, fun and leisure, home, personal development, relationship, service, which is also your service to others or volunteer, spiritual, family, friends, health, and money, you want us to rank them from 1 to 12, 1 being the biggest area of stress and anxiety, and 12 being like you don't even notice it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. Like for me, my 12, you know, my 11 and 12 is my relationship and my spirituality. I've got a really solid relationship with my husband. Everything's going really well. My spirituality is really good, you know, so that's really great. And my number one and my number two is my career, because that's my business and that's my focus. And it's not that it's stressful. It's just that's where all of my energies are right now, trying to grow the business, trying to get it to where I want it to be, you know, reaching that million-dollar mark in 5 years that I'm trying to get to. Mm-hmm. So that's how I'm ranking my life.
Okay. All right, so after they've ranked this, then what's the next step?
After they rank it, what I want them to do is to spend a minute and actually write a sentence about the number one challenge in their life. And the sentence is, what is it that you want to have happen? If I were a genie and I could wave a magic wand and I could give you what it is that you want for that area of your life, what would it be? And just define it. What is it that you want to have happen?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so define it. So like, for example, for me, I'll be all revealing here to everybody. Probably number one for me right now, and it's kind of like goes one and the same, it's health and or appearance. And the reason I say appearance is because, obviously, if you're overweight, that affects your appearance and affects how you feel. Because I had a baby about 4 months ago, so I'm still carrying about 10, 12 pounds more than I want to, and it really bothers me. Plus, you know, having some structural challenges from my posture and, you know, things like that, and I'm not sleeping as well as I usually have been. It's been a little more stressful on my health. So that would be number one for me. So if I was going to define, so what you're saying is I need to define, not just go, all right, I'm fat and I'm tired and I'm, you know, my neck hurts. Like, you know, so I've got to be more specific than that. I've got to say, well, I'd like to, or my goal, if this is my vision, would be where I've got that six-pack abs back, you know, and I can visually see that. Even a four-pack I'll take at this point. a two-pack. And so I got to have, okay, that's what that is, and I want to feel more energetic. I want to feel more rested. and I want to have my aches and pain. I got to get back on my Egoscue exercises because that really does help my posture, and I've kind of let that slide a bit, if you would. So is that what you mean? You want to define it, for example?
Absolutely. And okay. What I would do is actually, well, you know what? Can you read off? You said four things, so read them off to me one more time.
Four things that I need to fix under that category of health?
Correct. You mentioned that you wanted to feel energetic, that you wanted to get back into your exercise program. You had mentioned two other things, and I'm trying to remember what they were.
Well, it's the weight, it's energy. You know, I want to have maximum energy because I'm going at 1,000 miles an hour, so I want to have maximum energy. My posture alignment, which is those exercises. So it's really kind of really three things. They're okay. And the pain and like that sort of thing. They're one and the same. Yeah.
So here's how I would help you define it. If you were my client and we were in a coaching meeting, I would say to you, okay, that's great, but now we need to make what you said tangible. So, your weight goal. Now, obviously, you're not going to want to tell everybody who's listening what weight you want to achieve. But
no,
what I would say,
I want to be 155 pounds. That's my fighting weight. That's my fighting.
So then, what I would say is, then you need to write down that you want to achieve a weight goal of 155 pounds. Mm-hmm. Now, when most people give me weight goals, they always say I want to lose 10 pounds or lose 15 pounds, and I always tell them if you use the word lose, that's what you're going to focus on. You need to focus on the word achieve.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so that's why I always flip it around to what weight goal is it that you want to achieve. Great. Okay, so then let's talk about feeling energetic. Mm-hmm. That's intangible. The only way to make that tangible is through a rating scale. So we're going to define it by a scale of 1 to 10. Mm-hmm. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being you feel no energy and 10 being you are completely energetic, where are you right now?
At this very, very moment in time, about a 7.
Okay, and what is it that you want to be?
A 10.
Okay, and so what I would do as your coach, if we were in a program, is I would ask you that question every meeting. And we would talk about what your rating meant. You know, next week you might say, I feel a 3. And then I would go, okay, what's going on? And you might tell me, you know, that your kid kept you up 3 nights that week and that you got a lot of work to do, you know, whatever. And so we would talk about what it means and we would keep track of it. And then I would make sure that we were doing everything that we could to move you to a 10. Because you will get there if you're rating it in a way that's tangible.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yep. And then the last one, your exercise goal, I would actually have you define. Well, okay, for you, what exercise routine do you want to commit to? How many hours, how many days a week?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that was my Egoscue daily and my weight. And I'm doing well on the exercise part, the cardio and the weight training. So it would be more of the exercise, I think, continue what I'm doing, which is like 5 to 6 times a week.
Okay. And so I would have you time block that into your schedule and commit to doing it as part of your schedule. And guess what? Some days you're going to do it and some days you're not. And guess what? When we meet, we'll talk about your progress. And if you fail, that's okay. We'll figure out what we need to arrange and how to get you back on track. And over time and over consistency, it's amazing when people check in with me and have a meeting with me because they know that I'm holding them accountable. They end up becoming self-accountable at some point in time during the journey.
Gotcha. Okay, so we've got these 12 categories. We've rated them. We've written a sentence about the number one area that we need to get handled, which is what do I want to have happen, and then we've defined it to more specifics. We've given it some language that I want to achieve this. I want to achieve spending more time with my children or whatever. And if it's an intangible, then we have a rating scale and we're putting it on that. What's next?
At that point, we would talk about, okay, well, let's look at your personality type. You know, what time of day are you best at? Do you time block? Do you know how to manage your stress? Do you know how to manage your time? you know, we would go into those conversations because all of those things affect your ability to actually achieve different things.
Mm-hmm.
From that point, it's just being consistent. And throughout the coaching journey, at some point, you would start making progress and start keeping progress. And if you didn't, then, as I said, we would figure out what the real challenges are, because there may be a lot of things going on behind the scenes that you're not aware of or that we need to kind of analyze to figure out, well, what's the stopping blocks that we need to get through so that you are consistent.
Gotcha. Okay. So what you're talking about is then you've got to set yourself up to win, which is my term, where, you know, okay, so if I want to be energetic, I've got to eat healthy foods, which means I got to get all the chocolate out of the house and probably within a 10-mile radius. I don't know how I'm going to do that because, you know, I'm like a pig to a truffle. I can smell chocolate like 50 miles away, you know. So we'd have to do that. So you have to set yourself up to win to make sure your environment supports you, the people around you support you, and then make sure you have the skills and the knowledge even, you know, because if I'm, you know, I could say I want to have more energy, but if I don't know about drinking enough water or eating healthy and so forth, if I don't know what to do and I'm sitting here just eating carbs and whatever, I got to have the right skills and knowledge to know how to achieve what I got to achieve too. So,
correct.
All right.
Yep.
Awesome. Now, because you have a journal, I got your book here, but do you have a journal? I mean, is your book in your journal? You have that in there as well, sort of like a rating or so. Like, how do you? I guess what I'm getting at is how do you get people to track this? I mean, is it just a piece of paper, or is there some other better sophisticated way of doing it, or you know, how do we keep these goals in front of us?
Well, if somebody just wants to go through the book and the journal without me, mm-hmm. then the journal is extremely effective, because when they read the book, there's actually stopping marks on the book that say, okay, work through journals day one. And journal day one will have them answer questions based on the information that they just read, and it forces them to personalize it. And then they read the next part and do the next journal entry. And by the time they get done with the journal, they have truly taken the information from the book and applied it to their life in some way.
Right.
And
right.
then at that point, they have to decide, okay, well, what's the next step? What do I want to do?
Right. Okay. All right. So I want to save time for people to ask questions if they like. I've got some questions that have come in. And, guys, I'll just remind you, when you're posting questions to the webcast, please put who you are, because some questions came in and they just didn't say who they were. So no big deal. We'll still ask them. But Chris, before we get into Q&A, real quick, if somebody wanted to get more information about you or to work with you, where would they go?
I actually offer a complimentary 20-minute meeting or so to talk about coaching, and I prep that meeting by having them fill out a form, and I have them fill out a C-suite assessment, which is a way for me to kind of get a feel for where they are in the shift process. They can go to my website, and there is a button on the right-hand side that says emergency, I want to make the shift, and click on that, and that will show them how to do it.
Okay.
But my website is www.begin2shift.com. That's BEGINTOSHIFT.com. And if somebody really just kind of wants to get the book and they want to check that out, they can get the book on stuck2ceo.com. And, I'm also happy to offer anybody that orders the book today a complimentary 30-minute strategy session where I'll actually walk through and we'll actually go through and figure out something that's challenging them.
Okay, well, on that, I mean, for all of you listening, if there is a challenge or something that you are struggling with and you need some help defining, or maybe you've set goals and you've not been able to achieve it and you're kind of stuck, as to use Chris's word, what you can do is press 1 on your phone, and you can line up and ask myself or Chris a question and talk to us. So, okay, just a couple really quick quick things. So Matt with Dawn's Edge texted, he missed number 5 because of an emergency client call. Could you repeat that one for me? I think he means steps 1 through 5. That's 5 is becoming CEO of your life. Is that right, Chris?
Correct. Yes, that's okay. The 5th and final shift. That's
okay.
Correct.
Great. Okay. Another question that came in here is and you may have already answered this, but I'll ask it again. How do you get balance? It feels like everything is important. I'm trying to read between the lines. I'm thinking that they're saying that from those 12 things, when everything seems important, I mean, where do you start? What if you've got 10 fires going on in your life, Chris? I mean, and you're like, what do you do then?
Well, the truth is that you can't put out more than one fire at one time. I mean, that's just reality. If you were in an office and you had 10 team members come to you all at the same time and say, oh my gosh, I need you to do this, we have a problem, you would literally have to look at your team and say, okay, I'll start with you. Because that's how we think. We can't deal with 10 things at once. We can only deal with one thing at a time. Even when we multitask, we're really only focusing at any one thing at any one second. Mm-hmm. We may be shifting around. Mm-hmm. So if all of those things feel like fires or feel like challenges, then you have to just say, I have to only deal with one at a time. Which one am I going to deal with? And then in your head, you have to prioritize. You have to say, okay, all of these are fires. Well, which fire is going to have the worst consequence if I don't deal with it right away? Mm-hmm. And you deal with that fire first.
Okay, so it's kind of in a way, instead of just sitting there doing nothing, just pick something and get started.
Yes.
And yeah, okay, so, the weight problem, maybe your diet's not the best to start today. You will get to it, but just, you got to deal with this crisis with your family member or something like that first. And then once you get through that, life is long and, you know, it's like, okay, I'll get that handled, then I'll go on to the next thing. So that way you're not dumping everything on yourself and just getting overwhelmed and doing nothing, right?
Yep. And the other thing is most people don't realize that if they make a habit of time blocking things into their schedule that they know could be challenges or things that they want to work on and they commit to the time blocks,
right,
most things get done. It's amazing how that works.
Right. Another question that came in, Christine from Tacoma said that, and I think a lot of people would be interested to hear this. Do you have any practical tips or advice for how to hold yourself accountable? Even though I put things on my schedule, it's easy for me to disregard it. So how does somebody hold, how do you hold yourself accountable? If you have to hold yourself accountable, like maybe I can't afford a coach or I don't have, what do you do to hold yourself accountable?
The easiest thing that you can do that costs no money is to find a friend that you trust. It doesn't matter if the friend lives near you. They could live across the country, across the world. Tell that friend what you want to do and when you're going to do it, and then have your friend hold you accountable. And simply, it could be, you agree with your friend that you're going to email them or you're going to call them 5 minutes after you do it to let them know it got done. That's free. That doesn't cost you anything. And most people have that type of person in their life. Now, on the rare occasion, if it's a really maybe personal goal and you don't want anybody to know that you're working on it, well, then you absolutely have to decide if you're going to hold yourself accountable, you absolutely have to commit to a time block. And if you can't commit to it, then your only other choice is to either let that go, or hire somebody to hold you accountable, because you know you better than anybody else. And accountability is a habit. Anybody can become accountable to themselves, but sometimes it has to start out by paying somebody or asking somebody to help them be accountable until they can become accountable.
Right, right, right. Okay. Howard from New York, this is funny. He says, our government is putting me, my wife, my children, and grandchildren into major debt, but I don't think that's something Chris can help us with. Yeah, Howard, I have an accountant that might be able to help you a little bit with that, but yeah, I don't think we're gonna solve that. So, Chris, maybe you could put some time and effort into that for us. Could you solve this national debt thing that we're all, you know, you can work on that.
You know, it's not so much national debt as much as it is money habit. Honestly, there are plenty of what I would call poor people out there who yes, they are poor, but they have their finances in order, and it doesn't matter what the economy does, they still pay their bills, they still save. They don't have a lot, but they've developed really good money habits. And that's what it boils down to, is do you know what your money habits are? Do you know what your beliefs about money are? And do you know how to put all of that into a plan?
Right, right. Yeah, that's a whole nother topic, because I was mm-hmm. just reading some recent information about percentage of people who are going to retire government dependent, and that these are studies from the Social Security Administration, and these are old numbers where the numbers are climbing of because of the national debt and because people are living longer and everything else. It's really getting ugly. So yeah, I mean, definitely one of the areas on your list. If you don't have your money handled, you know, then believe me, that anyone who says money's not important, I don't know, they'll lie about other things too. I think, you know, it's one of the big areas. You gotta get that handled. So. And you know, a funny story on accountability. About 2 years ago, I wanted to lose weight, and actually it wasn't even lose weight. I wanted to get on this anti-inflammatory diet. See it's funny how certain things in our lives, you know, it just seems like the same problems come up again and again. Eating is like, I just love to eat so much, and I've got like a sugar addiction so bad, it's ridiculous. So I challenged my staff. I said, look, I'm going to eat like this on this anti-inflammatory diet for 1 week, and I am not going to cheat at all. I mean, not even a square of chocolate, nothing. I mean, just pure, not even a Hershey Kiss, like nothing. And if I do, I'll pay you all, and I forget what it was. I told them some big number. You know, I'm going to pay you all a check for that. So I had to make, that's how I tried to hold myself accountable. The only thing is all my staff kept bringing chocolate in the office trying to know. Wrong kind of motivation for them, you know what I mean? I probably should have said, I'll pay you $1,000 if you keep me on the diet. Then they would have been up in my refrigerator clearing it out and all that, you know. But be careful who you get to hold you accountable and what incentive is there. So
no, that's very true. But it's great that you did that. I actually know a coach in the area who has her clients create a pain. Like if they don't do what they're supposed to do, then they have to do something painful. And one of the people that were in the group that I was with that was doing that said that if he didn't do what he needed to do, she had to take a cold shower. And so she didn't do something that she said she was going to do one day. And she actually had to stand in a cold shower for 3 minutes. And it was like winter.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, there was so no way. I would never, ever, ever make myself suffer through that.
Yeah, yeah. I should make myself do that with a chocolate bar in my hand. Maybe that association will make me not like it anymore. Probably not, you know. I'll probably take comfort. In fact, I got food with me. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Okay, so real quick, let me see. Carrie, I didn't even ask. Do we have anyone on the live call that has questions?
We don't have any questions at this time.
Okay, just a quick reminder, guys, if you have a question, you want to talk to Chris and I about it, challenge, anything at all, press 1 on your phone, and we'll go from there. I think we already covered some of these, some of the other questions, like they were asking about what do you mean by service? I mean, there were some questions that came
mm-hmm.
in that we've already covered. So, all right, great. I think that's it. I think that's all the questions we have for now. Chris, before we wrap up, is there anything else that you'd like to, last words of wisdom or anything else you'd like to share with our audience today?
Yeah, you know what? I'd love to give everybody kind of an acronym for SHIFT. And this isn't what SHIFT means. This is just something that I created because I thought it would be a good takeaway.
Mm-hmm.
The S in SHIFT could stand for step out powerfully. And that's because you're not supposed to step out meekly when you change your goals, when you achieve your goals. Step out powerfully. So that's the S. The H is hang on tight, because any change journey, any type of transition is going to be bumpy, and you have to hang on tight and believe that you're going to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
The I is for innovative thinking, because you have to think differently to get what you want more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The F is firm commitment, because without commitment, there's very little chance of success.
Mm-hmm.
And the T is trial and error. Remember that failure is part of the process. So it's step out powerfully, hang on tight, innovative thinking, firm commitment, and trial and error. And just a quick reminder, if anybody, seriously, if anybody really wants to connect with me, I would be happy to help. And if anybody does buy my book and journal on the Stuck to CEO website by midnight tonight, I'll just give you a 30-minute strategy session at no charge for picking that up.
Well, could I get you to extend that? Because there's some people who will listen to this on a recording.
They're
not, so
how long?
Say tonight, you know.
Yep.
I miss a lot of people. So,
yeah, how long do you want me to extend it for? I'll extend as long as you want me to.
Okay, well, we'll just say it's a Robin's special, you know, and because I mean some people will literally listen to this when we mail them the CD in like 2 months from now. So, I'd hate
to
put that limitation on them. If that's okay with you, I'd rather
yep.
not put that. Yeah.
That's fine. Then I would like to have some sort of cap on it, you know, like maybe 3 months.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'll leave it up to you, obviously.
Okay.
You know, but I just wanted to let you know that, so you know, we don't
okay.
have people feeling like they gotta, you know, I mean, because
sure.
there's some people who listen to this later. So, and again, the website is stucktoceo.com. Is that right?
That's the book website, stucktoceo.com. That's correct.
Perfect. All right, Stuck to CEO. All right, Chris, it's been a great call. I really appreciate your time. And so with that said, Carrie, you can wrap up the call.
Okay. This officially ends today's call. Thank you for your participation. Have a good afternoon. You may now disconnect.